up with great skill from him. Doing the most alarm! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to the Premier Talk podcast. I'm one of your two hosts, as always, Andrew Mello. And alongside with me is Danny B, Daniel Barbudo. Daniel, some tough results this week. Some shocking results this week. It was just another ordinary day for Manchester United, we can all say, you know. So
I wouldn't call it an ordinary day, but yeah, it was not a good week to be a United fan, I can tell you that. Speaking from experience, that is. Yeah, just awful defeat in Liverpool. Like, I think almost every soccer football fan has been talking about this entire week. And I've gotten more text messages from soccer fans than I ever have in my entire life this week. It's been nuts.
Daniel, we're going to go right to the starting lineup. We're going to start with the match day 9 recap.
Match day 9 recap. There was 10 games this week. We're going to discuss a little bit of some Carabao Cup ties as well. Starting us off on Friday, October 22nd, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. Great win for Arsenal. They've actually been in good form right now. I've got to stop chatting as much shit as I do to Arsenal fans because they haven't been bad. They haven't been poor as they were at the beginning of the season. And coming out with another 3 points, I think this puts them at the same amount of points as Manchester United. So got to stop talking to Arsenal fans.
Daniel, I just want to interject really quick. That's a great point you make. We always like to shit on Arsenal and talk crap about Arsenal. But Daniel, they're doing just about the same as Man United. And Man United were title favorites for Man U this year. So it just puts things into perspective for sure. So got to put some respect on Arsenal right now. Emile Smith-Rowe has been fantastic, by the way.
He has been good. Saturday, October 23rd, there were six games on the 23rd. Starting us off, an absolute banger game for Chelsea against the Norwich side that I think most expected to beat. But then again, they put up 7 goals. They beat this Norwich side 7-0. Fantastic game from Chelsea.
Mason Mount, a little Hattie there. Mm-hmm. Got a decent team of the week on Ultimate Team for those of you that play FIFA. It's a right forward card, so you might have to switch him in-game. But
why do they play him right forward for EA? What are you doing, EA?
I know.
Crystal Palace versus Newcastle. This one, a draw, 1-1. Not much here. Hopefully, we're starting Newcastle. New owners, new manager. Might actually see something come. They still haven't signed anybody yet big. They have an interim right now.
Yeah, Paul Fonseca is the leading candidate from reports. Formerly coached Roma, coached in Portugal for Braga, Pasferreira, Porto. He coached in Ukraine and Shakhtar. So he's one of those guys that's looking to make a move to the Premier League. Unfortunately, fell through for him. And yes, Nuno Espírito Santo got the job for Tottenham. He was heavily linked before NES signed. So I think he'll find his way into the Premier League. I think most likely it'll be probably Paul Fonseca because it looks like Antonio Conte might be the lead man for Manchester United.
Manchester United, which we'll get to a little bit further down this episode. The third game on Saturday was Watford versus Everton. Watford came out with a stunning win here, 5-2 against his Everton side. More goals than I thought Watford would put up, but then again,
and Watford was down 2-0 to start the game. This was an incredible comeback. Emmanuel Dennis was fantastic. Joshua King, fantastic. It was just a great statement result from Watford under the new manager Claudio Ranieri, following a previous week that was quite shocking against Liverpool. Liverpool handed them a 5-0 slap. Another 5-0 slap this week for Liverpool. But we'll get into that later in the episode, like Daniel already mentioned.
The fourth game, Leeds versus Wolves. Again, not much to see in this one. Full time, it was a 1-1 draw. Both teams come out with 1 point. Both teams aren't doing too well currently this year. I think most people expect them to be higher up in the standings, especially already 9 games in, but they're both sitting in the lower half of the table. We got Burnley versus Southampton. Again, two teams that haven't been doing great, tied 2-2, both got the 1 point. And then we got this Manchester City team, who we have 2 games to discuss about. The first one, beating Brighton, which Brighton's been pretty good this year. I think they've been better than most teams have expected them to be. But then they go and kicked out of the Carabao Cup, which they haven't lost until losing to West Ham. West Ham, was it? In penalties?
Yeah, West Ham, yeah.
In penalties, they lost to West Ham, and they haven't lost a, this is nuts, this stat, by the way. In 1,827 days, that was the last time Manchester City lost a Carabao Cup draw.
I know, that means they are four-time reigning champs with that stat there of the Carabao Cup. So there'll be a new champion this year, which would be nice to see. I always like to see those smaller sides fight for it. It'd be incredible for West Ham to win the Carabao Cup. That'd be really cool to see. As they've been fantastic in the Premier League this year to start. They're in the top six right now as it stands. So terrific job from West Ham. They really elevated their game out over the last couple of years and the last couple of seasons. And they've really established themselves as a top 10 side in the Prem. And you see that they're doing really well in the Europa League this year as well. So just credit to them. And it'd be cool to see a team like West Ham win it.
Moving on to Sunday, October 24th, we have the team we just finished talking about, West Ham, on great form, beating Tottenham 1-0 on Sunday. Another 3 points. Great for them to see they continue their winning ways with 2 wins this week and wins in Europa League from last week. They're on great form right now. Brentford versus Leicester. We've been talking about this Brentford side this year because they haven't been scared to play top six teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you consider Leicester a top six team. I know over the last few years they have been.
I consider them, yeah.
This year they haven't been great. And they ended up losing to this Leicester side 2-1. Great 3 points for Leicester because they're not looking too great on the standings right now. So to see them get the 3 points, jump a couple teams, it's great to see if you're a Leicester fan. And then we move on to the 10th and final game of match day 9. I don't even want to talk about this one, to be completely honest, but I know I'm forced to.
I want to.
Liverpool.
I want to talk about it.
Absolutely smacking Manchester United 5-0. And it happens to be our game of the week. Not because it was a good game or anything, but just because how important it was for both these sides. Andrew, why don't you kick us off for our game of the week?
Daniel, it started off poorly beginning in the 5th minute with a goal from Keita. Lovely, you know, it wasn't lovely. It was just a tap-in.
Poor defending.
It was a lovely start for Liverpool. That's what I was trying to get out there. Then Jota popped one in.
Poor defending.
Yep, 13th minute. Then Salah, 38th,
45th,
and then the 5th.
Four defending.
So there was four goals, Daniel. It was 4-0 at the end of the half, and they got their 5th and right at the start of the second half. But Daniel, the overall theme from this game for Manchester United was them being non-existent. There was no heart. There was no passion in this team. Every single goal that Liverpool scored was as a result of poor defending. The body language was just absolutely garbage. It was shit to see. It wasn't a good football match in that sense. The only reason why we're highlighting it is because it was shocking to see, really. Manchester United defensively as a unit, garbage. Harry Maguire, he's an $80 million fridge. He's just an $80 million pylon, like, does absolutely nothing back there. You can't win games with that guy leading your team, unfortunately, especially with Varane out. Varane picks up the slack a little bit there and helps him out. But he was absolutely – I'm running out of adjectives.
Horrendous.
Daniel. Yeah, he was horrendous. He was bad. It was bad, Daniel. On one of the goals, he bumped into Luke Shaw, had no awareness of where he was. There was gaps in between the midfield line and the defensive line. Easy for Liverpool to get in between lines and really penetrate the Manchester United defense. It was a joke. It was a joke. And I think it's a bit of the manager's fault. And I think it's a bit of the player's fault. We can't just say Ole's fault. Yes, it is Ole's fault. And there's many things that need to be fixed from a tactical standpoint, but at the same time, it looks like the players don't want to play for him. It looks like the players don't want to play for this club, for the badge. And it's doing such a disservice to the fans that pay good money. And, you know, it's not cheap to go watch a Premier League game week in, week out. And they're fans that deserve so much more. And the way they played was just a lack of heart, lack of passion, Daniel. And it really showed in the scoreline. The heads dropped right after the second goal. You could see that they're already defeated so early on, only 13 minutes in. And credit to Liverpool. Liverpool were hungry. They really wanted to go out there and, you know, draw first blood and continue keeping the pressure on. And that's why they did so well. And I think that it was frustrating from a Manchester United fan perspective because one team showed up to play and the other just popped on their kits, their boots, and they stood around the field. So that's what it really looked like. Red card for Pugman, this one. That was just out of frustration. Studs up, tackle. It was a yellow card. That was reversed. Ronaldo kicking out of Curtis Jones. I think that Ronaldo kicked the ball. I think people were a little bit...
He got lucky that he kicked the ball.
He was lucky that he kicked the ball. That was obviously out of frustration too. A lot of people are just trying to bash Ronaldo for that. I think that any player would be frustrated. And, you know, he kicked the ball. He didn't kick Curtis Jones. And then there's a little scuffle there. Bruno was the only player that went to go defend Cristiano Ronaldo. I think that if you're a team, it's showing that there's a lack of cohesiveness with their group right now. Every player should be getting in there to defend their own player. Right or wrong, you should always be there for your teammates. And they weren't even doing that, Daniel. They couldn't even stand up for their own players. You saw the whole Liverpool team swarm, but there's only Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo in that scuffle. It was just embarrassing. Embarrassing, Daniel. I want to hear from you. I keep rambling on here, but I'm so glad. So glad I'm not a Manchester United fan, because that stuff would really get under my skin.
I can't lie to you. It was a very tough week. It was. I was disgusted watching it. I think that's the only way I can look at it. It was gross as a Manchester United fan. After the fourth goal, I'm like, why am I still sitting here?
Yeah.
Like, why am I putting up with this when this team doesn't even look like they want to be here? That's all it came down to. The defending was terrible. It was horrendous. It was shocking. Every single goal could have been stopped somehow.
Oh, 100%.
There was nothing that Liverpool did in this entire game that I was like, wow, that was a really nice goal. Or wow, that was like, that's Liverpool right there. Because Liverpool have fantastic talents all across the field. Their team is phenomenal. They have lots of depth. They're a title contending team. And when you go at Manchester United playing your rivals as Liverpool, you got to expect that they're going to come out flying. And United just got there and they I don't know what they expected. I don't know if they expected Liverpool to relax on them considering the form that Liverpool's in. I don't know. I don't even know what they were thinking. Varane being out, it was shocking. Luke Shaw played the worst game he's ever played for Manchester United. Maguire, I got to say the same thing, because he was absolutely brutal. I don't think he's worth £20 million right now, to be completely honest with you. There's no way. I don't think teams would even look to sign him. And the fact that he's starting and the captain, oh, this is even more infuriating. The captain of Manchester United. This squad is one of the biggest squads in Europe. They have one of the most historical teams ever in football. And you have Harry Maguire captaining this side right now when they are in one of the worst forms that they've seen in years. It was disgusting. Then your final and third thing discussion that you got to talk about is Ole, because this guy's still coming out with no tactics. I agree with you in the sense that you can't blame it all on him, but it does look like right now the players don't want to be there and they don't want to play for him.
Oh, for sure.
At that point, yeah. If you're a president or you're higher up in this Manchester United club, you got to realize this. You got to see that these players do not want to play for him and they are done with him. They're still giving him this game on Saturday against Tottenham, which I don't think he hasn't deserved the last three games. What saved his managerial career for Manchester United was Ronaldo scoring in the 86th minute against Atalanta in the Champions League to put them up 3-2 and to win that game down 2-0. Because if they lose that game, he's gone. They were ready to ship him off. He won that game. So you're not going to send off a manager after winning. And it's even harder to send off this manager because he's a former player of this club. And he's done wonder for the side. He's won a Champions League with Manchester United. And now, even when he came in the last 2 years, people have been very skeptical about, is he good? Is it just his players? Has he ever had any real tactics? A lot of fans love him, actually, because fans that have been fans for the last 20, 30, 40 years saw him as a player at this club and now want to see him succeed as a manager. So they're still backing him. And I feel like that's even at the higher ups in this club are doing the exact same thing. They want him to succeed. But I think his time has come and gone for Manchester United, and I think it's time for him to go and to see a new face in this locker room that the players can support and play for.
Daniel, this game, this 5-0 loss says a lot about this club. It says a lot about their culture right now. It says a lot about where they are in terms of being competitive. They're not ready, Daniel. They're not ready. You know, there's not much time left for Cristiano Ronaldo to go out and get titles, and It has to be. You have to win now. It's not gonna come 4 or 5 years from now. This is your window right now, your window of opportunity. And right now, they're just not ready to win, Daniel. There's a lot of flaws, everything from managing standpoint to the personnel that's on the field. You can't win a Premier League with Maguire. I'm sorry, you can't. You can't win a Premier League with Maguire. You need to shore up that back line some more. You need to go and get another center half. You need a six in this team, a six that can maintain possession, recuperate balls. Matic is not going to give you that. Fred looks terrible on many occasions. I still think that a guy like Renato Sanches would be great to bring to this side, but you're going to need a lot more than just Renato Sanches to turn things around. Sancho underperforming. I still... He's been non-existent this season.
He's not been good.
I don't know if he doesn't fit the style of football. What is the Premier League and that's in that fast-paced style. Because he was absolutely fantastic in the Bundesliga and the DFB Pokal. So I don't understand why it's not clicking with Sancho right now. That's another issue there. You spent a lot of money on him. You need to see results and you need to see them immediately. So there's many things telling about this game. And the one thing that keeps popping in my head is Man United's not ready. They're not ready to be a contender like Man City or Chelsea or Liverpool. They're just not ready. And that's because there's guys that don't have that quality. And the big thing with United is depth. You see that Varane comes off. Look how terrible they look defensively. Yep. Varane was helping a lot back there. So it's just very telling of this Manchester United side, and that depth is what wins you Premier League titles. We've seen it with Liverpool, how bad they were last year because of the centre-back partnership was non-existent. And you see how teams like Chelsea and Manchester City are able to succeed. It's because they have guys they could rotate in for these cup ties. They have guys that they can rotate in during the middle of the week when there's makeup fixtures and stuff like that and Champions League fixtures. There's always guys that could pop in. Saul, Jorginho, Conte, Kovacic. That's four guys that they can rotate in on the midfield. Then they got the defensive side of the park. Of the field. They got, Reece James could slot in as a center back. It's just that versatility that these teams have that allows them to win these tough points throughout the middle of the week. And Manchester United doesn't have those guys. They don't. It's what it is. And guys like Van de Beek are just rotting on the bench, wasting their time. So there's so many things wrong with this club right now.
A couple other things. I like going back to Van de Beek, because you just mentioned him. I'll talk about that first. Everyone saw him training. It was a big thing on social media after the game. He trained for, I think, like 3 or 4 hours, which is what you want to see from a player, obviously. And I know it does happen a lot in the world of sports, where it's like after you go and compete, if you didn't play the game, you have a training session on the field. It was just him, which I like. It shows that he's ready to play and he wants to be a part of this side, even though there's been times where you see him on the bench and he like looks...
He's pissed off.
Visibly
pissed
off. Frustrated.
Yeah, pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah. He does look very angry, especially because he hasn't gotten very much playing time, if any at all, this year. And he wants to be a part of this Manchester United side. And I hope that, two things. I hope coming from a Manchester United fan, I hope Ole is gone in the next 2 weeks. I wouldn't give him any longer than that. I don't care if he destroys Tottenham, he goes back to Atalanta in the Champions League and they win that too. I really don't care. I think his time has come and gone. So I believe... Thank you for everything he's done for this club as a player and as a manager, but his time is done. I'm hoping to see either Antonio Conte or Zinedine Zidane as a manager of this club within those 2 to 3 or 4 weeks. I know Conte has said that he doesn't like taking over sides that are midway through the year because he likes to enforce a play style that he has been doing with those past clubs, Chelsea, Inter, and the Italian national team as well. He likes to play a 3-5-2, and he likes to enforce that from the offseason, and then they roll into the league playing that. So it's going to be different for him to come in. This is going to be the first side he could potentially come into and have to change up everything mid-year.
Danny can't play 3-5-2 with this Manchester United team, I'll tell you that. They don't have the
depth. They'll get destroyed.
The center half position to achieve this. So definitely have to adapt to the roster and what they have available to them. So.
Yep,
we'll see. This is going to be really telling for Manchester United if they could bounce back. And I don't see them winning the Premier League. I don't see them doing very well in the Champions League this year, just because of the lack of depth. Maybe they'll go sign some guys in January. Who knows? But I don't expect much from this Manchester United side this year. Not much. I was with these signings. I was thinking maybe this is the year they really contend, but not now, Daniel.
I feel like most people did. And since you mentioned Champions League, I'm tired of talking about this. United side has been terrible. So we're going to move on to Champions League and Europa League standings. We're going to look at the six Premier League teams that are in Champions League and Europa League. And we're going to see where they are right now in the standings. So starting us off with Manchester City, they currently sit second in Group A. Their biggest competitor also who sits in first is PSG. PSG beat them 2 weeks, 3 weeks back. They won 2-0 with that phenomenal goal for Messi. Messi fanboy, so I'm going to talk about that. They will definitely make it through this group. I think that there's no way they don't make it through this group. The thing is, I don't know if they'll finish first or second because PSG is a tough competitor. They have a great team if you look at them on paper, although they haven't been performing well as a team this year in the league and also in Champions League.
I still can't believe Leipzig sitting dead last in this group and that Club Brugge is sitting in
Club Brugge, yeah.
That was, wow. So, shocking.
Moving on to the second team in Champions League, we've got Liverpool. Liverpool currently sits top of Group B. They beat Atletico last week 3-2 in an absolute thriller. With who got the red card? Oh, who got the red card in this game? There was a red card. He scored, I think it was, oh, it was Griezmann. That's what it was. Because he.
Oh, it was Griezmann. His, yeah, it was Griezmann. It was.
Got,
yeah,
he got the first two goals, and then he got a straight red for a high boot.
Yeah, that was a dangerous tackle. Now it's coming to me. I remember now.
It was dangerous. It was he had his foot really high. I don't even know. Somebody on Liverpool ran into it. It's a red for me. I know it's pretty soft because he was not looking at the player in front of him. He was looking at the ball up in the air and he just put his stud up. It's a tough red card, but it is a red card still. And they still ended up making a game of this. And then Liverpool scored to win this game 3-2. And Liverpool currently sits at 9 points, all three wins in this group. They're gonna get out of this group. I'm 100% sure about it, and they'll most likely finish first as well. I think already beating Atletico and Atletico sitting at second with 4 points, they'll definitely finish top of this group. Third team, Andrew, I'm done talking about this team for this episode. Go nuts.
Yeah, Manchester United. We've already mentioned briefly their Champions League results. So they beat Atalanta 3-2. They were trailing throughout most of this match. They were losing 2-0 at one point, Daniel. And for them to come back and win 3-2 is extremely, extremely lucky. Ronaldo had to save Ole's ass once more. And he's clutch. It's just his league. The UCL is literally the Champions League meant for Ronaldo. He's always been consistently good, and he's always been clutch. And that's why he's such a great player. The Manchester United, they sit first in Group F, even though they started extremely poorly against Young Boys. About a month back. Daniel, they're probably top the group. They should.
The group isn't difficult.
No, it's not. It's a very well-rounded group in terms of who could come second. Like any one of those teams could come second. I think even Young Boys can contend for it. It's Young Boys, Villarreal, and Atalanta. I think Atalanta will probably go through. They've been decent last year in Champions League as well. So I think Atalanta will be the second place team there. Then we're going to go to Chelsea's group. This is Group H action. Juventus sit in first. Chelsea sit in second. I'm not too concerned for Chelsea at all because the other two teams are Malmo and Zenit. Zenit gave a hard first round match to Chelsea. Chelsea only won 1-0 off a Lukaku header. But with that being said, Malmo is a guaranteed win for every team in this group. Malmo is, you know, from Sweden. They play their club football in Sweden, they're just not at that level of competition, and they got smacked all the games they played this year pretty much. So Chelsea shouldn't be concerned at all. They should beat Zenit. That's all they have to worry about is Zenit, and I think they'll eventually top this group too because they're better than Juve. Juve's been terrible in the league, in their league, in their domestic league. They sit in seventh right now. They just lost on the weekend 2-1, so and they got trolled. They absolutely got trolled by Maxime Lopez. He plays for Sassuolo.
See.
And he did the Ronaldo celebration on them and the Ronaldo Calma celebration on them.
Yeah.
Trolled them. So they're not looking too good either without Ronaldo at this moment. So I think Chelsea will catch them. And I think eventually they're top first. But even if they come second, it's not the end of the world. Daniel.
Europa League,
Daniel.
Those are the four teams from Champions League, City, Liverpool, United, and Chelsea. I think all four are going to make it through. Just who knows if they top their group or finish second. They should all make it to the knockout round. Moving on to Europa League. There's only two teams in Europa League from the Prem. Could be more, depending on who doesn't make the knockout round in the Champions League. But right now, it's just Leicester and West Ham. Leicester currently sits in third, so right now they're not in a knockout round spot. Behind Legia Warsaw. Sorry again for my pronunciation.
I think it's
Legia Warsaw and Napoli. Legia Warsaw actually tops this group right now with 6 points, and Napoli's in second, and then Leicester falls in third. I'm hoping for this Leicester side that they can squeeze out a European knockout round, because in Europa League, it's already like the competition's good, and I feel like if they go deeper and deeper, the deeper they get into this competition, the better they will do. But I don't want to see a team like Leicester in the Conference League. I know we're not going to discuss the Conference League, but you have Tottenham in there in the Conference League. And then again, they've lost games, which that Tottenham side hasn't been great this year. But
literally lost 1-0 against Vitesse the other day. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. Anyways, other than the Tottenham side, I don't want to see this Leicester side in the Conference League. So I hope for their sake that they squeeze through in the Europa League, finish in second. They could probably finish first, realistically. They just have to beat Warsaw and Napoli, which is doable. But again, two very difficult draws for this Leicester side.
Daniel,
the last team.
Daniel, I just want to mention for Leicester quickly. Patson Daka scored 4 goals.
He's so good.
He's gross, Daniel. He's absolutely gross. And we keep mentioning his name, and it's just tough for him to start week in, week out, because obviously Jamie Vardy's still around and Iheanacho's there. But once Jamie Vardy's gone, this guy's going to light up the Premier League. I'm telling you right now, this guy's a beast. I've been following him since his Salzburg days. Extremely, extremely underrated pickup. Top player. Very young. Very pacey. And he knows how to be in the right spots. And just 4 goals. Is an incredible stat, you know, to debut in the Europa League. So.
We already discussed this West Ham side in Europa League. Well, we discussed how good their run of form has been lately, but West Ham is currently running wild in the Europa League. They have 3 wins, 9 points, 7 goals, 4-0 conceded.
Yeah,
and they look like they have the possibility to win this Europa League, which is, I don't think anybody would have expected coming in. But they've been so good, and they're easily going to breeze into the knockout stage. Hopefully they go far. I can't see them not making it to the knockout stage, and I can't see them not going far in this competition.
Daniel, what's so impressive about this West Ham side this year is that they're playing in numerous competitions, and they're winning. They're winning games, Daniel. They're currently sitting in the top six, like we mentioned, in the Premier League, which is already that's pretty good this many games in. And then on top of that, they're doing fantastic in the Europa League. And then what do they go do this week? They go win against Manchester City on pens, but still to knock out Manchester City, the four-time reigning champ of the EFL Cup, the Carabao Cup. It's just fantastic. So credit to West Ham. And this is the type of football you love to see. They're playing exciting football, attacking football. And Declan Rice has been very good in the Europa League this year. Very good. From a defensive standpoint, he's got a goal. He scored out last time, so he's been quite important to this West Ham side down the middle of the park. So key player there.
Yep, this West Ham side's been great, and hopefully though for them, they keep up their winning ways and they go deep into Europa League and to continue putting top side teams in the Premier League under scrutiny, because they're beating teams like Manchester City. So who else can they go on to beat?
Daniel.
Andrew. It is right at the same time. We're both on the same page.
Yeah, Daniel, that about wraps it up for this episode. Episode 5 of season 3. I feel like this has been a podcast solely about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Manchester United being absolutely underwhelming. We should probably change the name of the podcast. Man United shithousery podcast. I don't know what we should call it, but it's just been very interesting. I love seeing these big teams crumble, Daniel. I love it because it allows room for these small little bottom feeders to come in and get the spotlight for once. So exciting times in the Prem right now, exciting times in Europe, and also the cup competition. There's a lot more to look forward to this season. That about wraps it up for this episode. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Continue to check out our socials. We have some snippets there and some other content. So please take a look at our socials on Instagram. Daniel, podcasts are on every platform, correct?
We're on every platform. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you want to listen, we are there for you.
All right, Daniel, that about wraps it up. We will see you guys next Thursday. Take care, everyone.
See you later.